Well, actually, I have been on your show several times talking about the Ted Stevens prosecution, and what they did apparently was sort of the final straw of what they've been accused of doing, which is not disclosing potentially helpful evidence that they had collected to the defense attorneys. And there's a very well-established legal principle that if a prosecutor comes across any kind of evidence that may have any indication of innocence, they're required to turn it over. And they had been accused several times during the trial by the judge of not turning over certain kinds of information. And then if you recall, in December, I was on the show talking about an FBI agent, the case agent,
right,
who filed a complaint against the prosecutor and his co-case agent, accusing them of not turning over evidence. And they ultimately, the judge found the prosecutors in contempt. The Justice Department took them off the case, put a new team of prosecutors on. They dug through some files, and they found out there was even more evidence.
And Deborah, do we have any idea of the nature of this evidence that was not turned over?
Yeah, actually, it's very specific. It was an interview of the key witness against the senator, the man by the name of Bill Allen, who happened to be the CEO of the company that had allegedly given these gifts and things of value to the senator. He was the key witness. And it was an interview the prosecutors had done with Mr. Allen back in 2008, and he had a very different memory back then of a particular handwritten note that was supposed to be sort of the smoking gun against the senator, and he testified at trial that it was the CYA, cover your ass kind of note, and apparently a year earlier, he had absolutely no recollection of this note, didn't know what it stood for, and they didn't turn that interview of Mr. Allen over to the defense counsel, which at trial they certainly could have cross-examined him with and said, you know, something like, isn't it true a year ago you saw this very note, you had no recollection of it, you didn't know what it represented, how are you here today telling us this is the smoking gun?
Yeah, like the famous line in that movie, which one was the lie?
Right. So it was a series of pieces of evidence that they hadn't turned over, and this was the final one. And, you know, there's a new team in the Justice Department, and they felt like, you know, it was the final piece of evidence, and that, you know, they wanted to send a message to the entire Justice Department set of attorneys that you can't do this. The law, the rules require that if you're in command of evidence that may help the defendant, you have to turn it over. You know, the system needs to be fair. And so they have a motion, hasn't been granted yet, they have a motion to dismiss the verdict and the indictment with prejudice. And, you know, of course, there's some very serious internal investigation now against the prosecutors that had been on the team.
All right, so we can't really predict what might happen to the prosecutors on the team, but let's just say, in theory, what would the process that be that they would go through to investigate why this happened and took place, and then, you know, eventual outcomes or possibilities of what might take place going forward?
Yeah, no, that's easy sort of actually to predict. There's an office inside the Department of Justice called the Office of Professional Responsibility, and think about it as the bar that manages the Department of Justice. Every attorney has to be licensed by a state bar that controls whether or not the attorney is allowed to have a license, and complaints against the attorney for ethical misconduct are investigated and decided by these state bars. Well, the Justice Department has an internal office that does it for their own attorneys, and there's a very active investigation into these prosecutors who led a very well-known section in the Department of Justice called Public Integrity, and the prosecutors who are under investigation were the attorneys who actually headed up the section. So the news reports say that the investigation is ongoing, and in the end, that office can make a finding whether they engaged in any kind of formal professional misconduct, and if so, they would then refer it to their state bars, who would then look into it, and they could actually lose their licenses to practice law. They clearly, if they find professional misconduct, are in jeopardy of losing their jobs at the Justice Department.
Well, that's a very, very stiff penalty. We're talking this morning to Deborah Roth. She is the one of the co-hosts of Fed Talk, which airs Friday mornings at 11 here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and also a partner at the law firm Shaw, Bransford, Vayu & Roth.
And so what happens to someone like Senator Stevens? Suppose you are convicted and then the conviction is overturned or tossed because of misconduct by prosecutors. What do you get, court costs back? Do you get any kind of reparation for that?
That's a good question. That's the one thing that isn't being reported yet in the news, and it's hard to imagine that his attorneys haven't already figured out their next move. There's a statute that was passed in 1997 called the Hyde Amendment, and what it does is it shifts, and it's used often enough in criminal cases, but it's rarely succeeded by criminal defendants who prevail in a prosecution by the United States. And what the statute does is it allows individuals who were not successfully prosecuted to recover all of their attorney's fees and costs if they can show that the prosecution by the department was vexatious, frivolous, or in bad faith. And given the Justice Department's actions at this point in dismissing the indictment, I think that they're getting closer to successfully winning under the Hyde Amendment and getting all their attorney's fees back.
Wow.
Yeah. And it'd be very,
it's probably $1 million.
Oh, it must be. It's, you know, it's Brendan Sullivan. It must be something in that neighborhood. And while the statute's used some degree of frequency, it's very rarely succeeded. I mean, you can count like a handful of cases where the last 10 or 12 years that the statute's been in place, where they succeeded. But this one certainly screams at you that the department's going to be getting a very serious legal bill.
You know, I do have a question about this, though, because this doesn't really say that there was no gift giving to Senator Stevens. So do you think at the end of the day, Senator Stevens will be able to stand up and say, where do I go to get my reputation back? That famous line that you quoted yesterday, Tom. Or is this something where the Senate will just kind of let this fade into the sunset? What do you think will happen in terms of, you know, the senator getting back some of his now, I think, very sullied reputation?
Well, I heard yesterday, you know, questions about whether or not he's 85 now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if he were to run for the next term, it's years off. So it's hard to imagine, you know, but he might certainly do it. And that would certainly be a stage for him to get his reputation back. Other than that, you know, he'd have to bring a civil suit to claim, some sort of civil suit to claim that the government was intentionally trying to harm his reputation. And in that civil suit, you know, he'd have to prove on a civil level that he hadn't engaged in the seven things that he was charged with
right. In
the indictment. And I think, you know, the civil burden of proof is much lower than the criminal burden of proof, and I think that he'd have a hard time. They're not saying, by withdrawing the indictment, they are not saying that he's innocent. They're just saying there's too many missteps.
Well, we loused up.
There's too many missteps. Yeah. We're going to have a new trial, and at this point, we're not going to do it.